For New England Public Media News, I'm Adam Frenier. The U.S. Department of Justice and Massachusetts U.S. Attorney's Office have issued a blistering report on the excessive use of force by Springfield police officers. This comes after more than a month of nationwide protests against racial injustice by police. Some police departments are considering revising their policies on use of force, but as New England Public Media's Nancy Cohen reports, the culture of a department matters more than its policies.
Police use force to take control of a situation or to arrest someone or even to save someone's life.
Sometimes the force is just their mere presence and a person will comply.
That's Brian Rizzo, a retired New York City police sergeant who teaches in Westfield State's Criminal Justice Department. He says using force is part of the job description of being a police officer.
You may have to grab them by the arm or the shoulder and say, "Come with me." That's still force. And then it ratchets up from there.
It could ratchet up to striking a person with an open hand, a closed hand, a nightstick, using a taser, all the way up to enough force to kill someone. Rizzo says that kind of force, known as deadly force, is governed by case law from 1985.
A guy had stolen someone's purse and ran off. He was jumping over the fence and the cop shot him. And the Supreme Court said, from now on, unless that person who's fleeing is a threat, is an imminent threat of death, with serious physical injury to someone right there, you cannot deploy deadly physical force.
The language describing police use of force policies in the five largest cities in Western Mass and in Hartford reflect that legal precedent. A few cities have policies that stand out. Hartford's, for instance, say there will be consequences for excessive force, including possible criminal prosecution. Rasan Hall, director of the Racial Justice Program for the ACLU of Massachusetts, says most of the cities do not have policies that specify how officers would be disciplined.
And if any policy is going to be worth its salt, it has to make clear what the consequences are for not complying with it.
Chicopee's policies say the degree of force depends upon the amount of resistance or threat to safety. In Holyoke, officers have a duty to intervene if they believe someone could die or be seriously injured during an arrest, and they won't be disciplined for violating chain of command. But Hall says what's common in police culture is officers standing together, whether they're right or wrong.
It's that passive acquiescence to excessive force that further erodes the credibility that law enforcement has within the community, especially communities of color and other communities that are over-policed.
Holyoke and Hartford's policies ban chokeholds. In Holyoke, unless an officer is fighting for their life, and in Hartford, unless the use of deadly force is authorized. Hall says chokeholds, or anything that restricts air or blood flow, should be banned, no matter what.
There should be an exhaustion requirement in any use of force policy that the officer has exhausted any and all other means of de-escalating the situation before resulting to deadly force.
Springfield's policies state an officer may de-escalate, stabilize, or escalate based upon the officer's assessment of how much a subject is complying. Rizzo teaches his students, some of whom may become police officers, to de-escalate, if possible, if the individual has a weapon that's not a gun.
If a guy has a knife and he's advancing to you, don't shoot, just back up. Unless that guy is about to plunge that knife into your eye, then you say, like, I guess this is the time I'm supposed to use force. See, that's it, as a last resort. And when I say that to my students, they look at me like I'm crazy. I say, this is what you signed up for. Your life isn't as important as the person that's actually trying to attack you. They're the public. You're serving them.
But sometimes excessive force is used, and Northampton attorney Luke Ryan says it's rare for police officers to be prosecuted for it.
Officers know this, and they know that historically you're going to have a very difficult time holding them accountable for using too much force. Often that's because the first thing that happens is after they use too much force, they bring what are known as cover charges.
That's what happened in a case Ryan filed on behalf of Lee Hutchins. Early on a January morning in 2013, Springfield police knocked on Hutchins' door looking for his grandson, a toddler. Hutchins was 47 at the time. He's disabled and is a person of color.
They're like, we're here for the baby. And I'm like, whoa, you know what time it is? I said, he's upstairs with his father sleeping.
According to the jurors' verdict in the lawsuit, the officers entered the house unlawfully. A bit later, two of the police officers and Hutchins' younger son, Keith, ended up in a struggle outside on the ground. And according to Hutchins, one of the officers was swinging his baton, hitting the other officer.
I grabbed the baton. I don't grab control of the baton, but I grabbed the baton long enough for his partner to actually get Keith. So the officer that was swinging the baton says to me, either you let go or I'll mace you. So by the time I can let go, he maces.
Hutchins began rubbing his eyes and moved towards another officer who explained the pain would ease up.
And next thing I know, I get whacked twice from behind and I instantly go down to the ground.
Hutchins was charged with disorderly conduct, assault and battery, and resisting arrest. About a year later, he was acquitted and later won a $250,000 civil rights lawsuit, charging, among other things, excessive use of force. Springfield did not respond to requests for an interview with Commissioner Cheryl Claprud for this story. But recently, a DOJ investigation found officers in the city's Narcotics Bureau repeatedly punch individuals in the face unnecessarily. Claprud said at a press conference the department has been working on revising its outdated policies.
As long as I've been here, people have been trying to update them, and it's such a arduous, enormous task that we never quite got there. And now I think we realize we have to get there.
But attorney Luke Ryan says,
what you have on paper is less important than what happens in practice.
As for policies, Rasan Hall says they can make a difference if they're transparent and hold officers accountable. But he says, until the problems of police culture are addressed, police violence will still continue. For New England Public Media, I'm Nancy Cohen.